Hi everyone, welcome to Words of Wisdom with Apostle Glenn Munama. We are excited to have you on our podcast, and we know you will be blessed, convicted, and strengthened by this week's podcast episode. Don't forget that a new episode is posted every Wednesday at 7 p.m. South African Standard Time. Before you get into it, please don't forget to follow us on social media. Our Facebook page is The Synagogues JWC. Our Instagram is thesynagogues.jwc. And last but not least, our YouTube page is Ida TV. We also would love to hear back from you, so we have set up a Discord channel for you all. Feel free to check out the podcast description for the link. We also have a few announcements. The Synagogues JWC is building. Our goal is to have the funding to start phase one of the auditorium by 2025. To give towards the project, you can use our PayPal, PayMe link, or via bank transfer. Banking details and PayPal link can be found in the podcast description. Let us build the house of the Lord. Enjoy.
Some of us, we are distracted by many things, and we fail to appreciate the most important things in life. And that is, you are a child of God. God is your Father. I say, God is your Father.
Amen.
What is there out there that is better than God being your Father? We got to be proud of it, that we can call him Abba Father by his Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are going to read from Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 21. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will lead us where he wants us to go. Amen. Are you happy to be in the house of God?
Yes.
Jesus is coming soon. I say Jesus Christ is coming soon. We don't have a date yet, but he's coming soon. We don't have a specific day yet, but we know he's coming soon. Amen? We are going to read Matthew 21 from verse 33.
Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. 34.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servant, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, "What will he do to those vine dressers?" They said to him, "He will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to the vine dressers, who will render to him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.'"
It is marvelous in our eyes. Let's clap hands for Jesus. Amen. So, Jesus is giving them another parable of a landowner who planted what? A vineyard, isn't it? He put a wall around it, protected it, dug a wine press to process all the grains, all the vines that were gonna come out of it. And on top of that, he built a watchtower. Then after he had done that, the Bible says that he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. Now, we know that this parable refers broadly to the nation of Israel, that God had put them in that place. Hallelujah. And God expected something. He sent prophets, they killed them, and finally he sent the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And they also killed him. But I want us to look at it a little bit differently today, and look at our lives as it pertains to us today. Are you here? What do I mean by that? You see, your life as it is, think of it as some sort of a vineyard. Everything around you, it's a place that God has prepared for you to be in there. I don't know if I'm making sense to somebody. God has done everything for you to have all that you have today. So that is a vineyard. Unfortunately, we do not realize that this is a place that we are renting. You know, the things that we claim to own, they belong to God. Nothing that we have around us belongs to us. We're just tenants. And very few people realize that. And you hear people saying, "I worked hard for this." My question is always, how many people do work hard and they don't have what you have? "No, I work smart." How many people work smarter than you and they don't have what you have? Oh, yes. "I am educated." How many people are more educated than you and they don't have what you have? So we don't realize that all that we have is by God's design, and he has placed us in that particular position so that we may just rent the place. Look at your neighbor. You are just renting. I know you call these things your own, but you are just renting. "I've bought my car. This is my car." You are just renting. "This house, you are just renting. I bought it in my name." You are just renting from God. You may not be renting from this, but you are renting. All that you have, all that is around you, God placed you in that place. You have done all that you have done, yes, but nothing was guaranteed. There are many people who have done what you have done and they don't have what you have. It's because I also pray and fast too much. Okay, there are people who fasted longer than you and prayed more than you and they don't have what you have. It's high time we stop being proud and just accept that God has placed us in this place by His divine choice. Amen. None of us has to be proud because of what surrounds us. This vineyard is a place that God prepared for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Of course, some of us, we don't like our vineyard. Look at your neighbor. Some of us, we don't like our vineyard. We're always looking at the vineyard next door and say, I wish my vineyard was like that one. Hallelujah. But the Bible tells us He sends servants. Amen? It says, when the harvest, He rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, He sent His servants to the tenants to collect His fruit. You know? The landowner, all that he was expecting is a fruit. Say a fruit. He wasn't looking for everything. All what he was looking for was what was due to him. Some form of appreciation, some form of honor that this thing doesn't belong to you, it belongs to somebody else. Am I speaking to somebody here? And what happened? They seized his servants and they beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them. They did the same thing. This is what we call lack of appreciation. And some of you, you'll be sitting there and say, these people are so cruel. But if you look at our very life, that's exactly what we do. That's exactly what we do. Because if you know that what you have and what all that surrounds you is not yours, then you will know that honor is due to somebody else. I don't know what their excuse were, but they knew very well that they did not own all that was there. We have been put in charge of God's possessions. They are not ours. We are just stewards. We're just looking after the things of God. As I said, if you say, I worked hard, all I know is that all strength comes from God. He's the one that gave you strength. He's the one that gives you power. He's the one that gives you wisdom. Oh, yes. It is God Himself. Hallelujah. So all that we have belongs to God. Amen. All that He expected is some little appreciation that you do not own what you have. A little bit of thank you. This is what I have been able to gather from this place, and I just want to say thank you. But what did they do? They killed everybody. You may ask me, men of God, how do we do that today? How do we keep people? Every time God speaks to you about your life, especially the things that He wants you to do and you do not do them, it's as good as killing servants that are sent to you. Because you are saying, that this is mine. I want to own it. I want to possess it. I don't even care. Hallelujah. And I want to show you something here, which is the key message here, is that when God commits things to us, it is with hope that we will at least appreciate him with what we have. Put another way, we will come back to him at least with what he has given to us as a form of worship. Not control and own everything that we have and use it for our own purposes. When God speaks, those that love him will respond. Now let me tell you something. What lacks in the hearts and the minds of these people is the love for God and the love for the landowner. I'll explain that. You see, God has placed things in our lives. He has given us authority. He has given us, blessed us, has done everything. He has given us control over the world. When he blessed up Adam, he gave him everything. Gave him everything. Control over this, dominion over that, and over that. You know, he then says that of all the commandments, the greatest one is that you should love your God. You know why? It's because if you love God, if you love God, you can only put his interest first before yours. If you love God and if you love someone, you just want to make them happy. You just want to please them. You see, we obey God not out of fear, but out of love. Love is the greatest force when it comes to obedience. Is the greatest force. Hallelujah. When God comes to us, he's asking for a fruit of obedience. At least say a fruit of obedience. Say a fruit of obedience. That's what he's asking for when he comes to us. Hallelujah. But if you do not have love, you will not be able to respond accordingly. Amen. The word of God says in John chapter 15, verse 14, that if you love me, you will keep my commandment. Hallelujah. If you do what? I cannot hear you. If you love me. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commandment. Not if you fear me, you will keep my commandment. Because the fear of God is not what we normally think it is, the fear of God. It's not the terror, it's not the trembling, but it's obedience in love. It's obedience in what? It's obedience in love. So we obey God's commandment because we love him. Amen? Because we love God. So we obey. We don't obey out of fear of being caught, but we just want to do it because we love God. He says, if you love me, you will keep my command. If I ask you to do something, you are going to do it. Hallelujah. In other words, there's nothing that God can ask of us that we cannot do because he has prepared everything for us. He has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. God has done what? Has blessed us all. But you see, there's a time when he comes for a fruit. He comes for obedience. And I can tell you, if you are not occupied with or by the love of God, the love for God, not the love of God, but the love for God, you are not going to respond in obedience. Obedience is the highest form of worship. Obedience is the highest form of worship. Hallelujah. So, we obey because we love. You know, I was speaking about this recently, and I said, you see, my wife, and I'm sure a lot of men will identify with this, that my wife, you know, she has got so much authority over my life. It's crazy. Are you hearing me? It's crazy. But when you look at her, she's not as strong as I am. But when she says, I want this to be done, I run like crazy. It does not matter what time of the night. Even if it's at 11 o'clock at night and she says, yo, I feel like ice cream. I must just see what to do. Are you hearing me? Why? Because of love. You see how much power this love has. We disobey God because we don't love him. End of the story. You see, the one that you love, you seek to please. You seek to please. That's why he said, in the book of Isaiah, he said to these people, Isaiah 29, verse 13, he said, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. These people are just used to doing these things, you know? But the truth is that their hearts, they don't love me. They don't love me. How do we know that you love God? You do the things that he says you must do. You cannot be, I love God, but you live your life anyhow. God will come to you and expect that you will understand that you have to honor him with your wealth. You have to honor him with your successes. You have to honor him with everything that you have. Otherwise, this is a lip service. You are just honoring him with your lips. When God comes to you, he expects some form of appreciation, at least in obedience. He's not going to ask for much. He's just asking for a fruit. You know, God gives you 100% and then he only comes and says, can you just give me one or two or three? Look at your neighbor. God gives you 100 and he comes back and says, can you just give me only 10 of those things that I gave you? So, no. You know, I've got... Let me tell you this. You know, when you really love somebody, look at neighbor, when you really love somebody, you care less about yourself. Hallelujah. My wife would go to Sandton and whatever, Pretoria, and say she's going to buy clothes. And when she comes back, she bought me clothes. She was going to buy herself clothes. When she comes back, she bought me clothes. Does it make sense? It means when she got there and she looked around, all she saw is that, oh, my husband missed this, my husband. She forgot about herself. That's love. Tell her neighbor, that's love. Oh, yes. And I'm like, but she needed clothes. She bought me clothes. Amen. So when you really love somebody, their interests come first, not yours. Amen. Their interests come first. But in this world, all we're interested in is it's our own comfort. It's our own comfort. It's our own this. It's our own this. It's our own this. It's our own this. What is God's interest? Where is God's interest in all this? When you truly love somebody, look at them, when you truly love somebody, you will want to serve his interest and not yours. Hallelujah. You see, in our churches, if we really truly had lovers of God, churches would be different. Look at the neighbor, if we really had lovers of God, right now, if the person next to you buys a car and you don't have, it's not going to bless you too much for some people. Amen? Because we would like to see ourselves having these things, not others. Is it not true? It is true. It is true. I've seen it in churches. I'm not even talking about the world. The world is expected. I'm talking about the church, where when somebody progresses in life, attitudes change. People's attitudes change. Hello? Am I talking to somebody here? Why? Because we do not have the love of God. We don't have the love for others. Your love for God will be demonstrated in your immediate neighbor as well. It will be seen there. To celebrate somebody, success just shows how selfless you are. You just want to see people progress ahead of you. You are a child of God. You are ready for heaven. Amen? God has put us in charge of our lives, but put in charge of our whatever is around you and your life, even your health, even everything else, your family and everybody else. But God, when he comes, he expects that at least there will be an appreciation. There will be an appreciation. But for many, it remains their achievement and nothing else. The love for God is a profound, all-encompassing devotion that involves total surrender, yearning, and obedience to the divine. This is demonstrated through acts of worship, prayer, adherence to commandments, and selfless service. When you truly have love for God, you are characterized by these things. Amen? Total surrender. My kids, my family, my business is all the Lord's. I'm just a manager. I'm just a manager. And when the manager comes, I mean, when the owner comes, he's not looking for excuses. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor. We have too many excuses when we have to honor God. Excuses like it was not a good year. The rain did not rain that well. Oh, yes. Say, oh, yes. The sun, we did not get enough sun. The yield was not that good. Excuses. You see, when God comes, he already knows your situation. He expects you to respond in that very situation. And God will honor that which comes out of the heart. Are you hearing me? To be honest with you, there are people in this world, in this area, in this church, that God would like to help them, if you like. He would like to bless them. But the thing is, every time God comes for them to honor him with at least what he has given to them, they've got excuses. How can God trust you with more when you are not faithful in little? I want to be honest with you. And I'm not saying it's you. But I've seen people who struggle in life. They struggle from one struggle to the next. And some of them I've helped in the past. You know, sometimes when we help people, we must also ask God to help us. Not to help people that are not supposed to be helped. Because some people are in that state because of their hearts. Some people are in that continual, perpetual state of whatever because of their hearts. Only later, situations will begin to expose who they are. And you look back and say, this has always been the reason why this person has persistently been in this place. You hear somebody says, no, this person, this is what this person said when they heard about somebody's progress. And you realize the reason why they don't progress because they don't celebrate others. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When God has given us something, he expects that when he comes, you will respond in faith. Samuel says to Saul, because Saul was busy with all these sacrifices trying to cover his faithlessness. Sometimes the busiest people in churches are the faithless. That is why. Can I preach? Amen. That is why sometimes the most problematic people in churches are the ones that are busy. They are the ones that are serving. Because some of them, not all of them, of course, some of them is this outward activity trying to cover what lacks inside, which is that of faith. It becomes a sacrifice. If your heart does not honor God, it does not matter what you are doing outside. Can I preach? I want you to go to heaven when Jesus Christ comes. Amen. This calls upon you and I to look at ourselves and say, am I true to myself? Where is my heart? Of course, that's why Jesus Christ said, some of you will say, in your name I've done this, I was busy in church, I was serving, I was saying, I don't know you. Say, I don't know you, say. Try next door, and next door, like, is Kidihele. Are you hearing what I'm saying? These are the things that we do when he comes for fruit. When he comes for obedience, we just want to mask it with all these activities. God wants us to show that we honor him. When God asks you to do something, he already knows you can do it. No matter what you think you have around your life, God is looking for obedience. God is looking for obedience. He's not looking for your help. He's looking for obedience. Obedience is the highest form of worship, remember. It is. We have many excuses. Many. I don't have this. I can't do that. Do you think that God does not know all that? Some of us, God has even stopped talking to us because it's pointless. We don't respond. And someone said, when God speaks to you, something tells you something today, you say, okay, I'll do it next month. Really? Do you think God just decided to come to you earlier than the time you were supposed to come? Hello. I don't know what God will say to you. I don't know what God is expecting of you as a child of God. But he has given you things. He has put you in a vineyard. All he wants is that when the harvest comes, he's expecting some fruit from you. He's expecting it in whatever form. I don't know how. But he expects that all these things around you, something must come out for him. And he will ask for it, and it will be specific, this one. And watch us coming with list of excuses. And we are the first to be concerned or worried or disturbed. Yes, that's the right way. Disturbed when others make progress. When he visited you, you did not respond. I'll tell you something, Bazalan. Can I tell you something? I have seen people who have been in churches for a long, long time, hardened. Not this church, I mean in churches. Hardened so much that they are not even responsive to what the Spirit is saying. Are you hearing me? And you get people who just got born again or recently, a year or two later, and you see them, they're just responding. You know, they're just responding. Are you with me? And I wonder what has happened to people over years how do people's love for God run so cold over time? How? Because it's about the love of God. What drives us to do things for God, it is the love of God. In fact, when Jesus Christ was talking to them, he was talking about their traditions that had made the word of God or the commandment of God powerless traditions. So over time, you know, we just get used to things and it becomes routine and all that and then, Even if you can't do that, okay, I'll do it. I'll see. Are you hearing me? Oh, yes. Sometimes being in church for a long time can actually disadvantage you because you get used to things. Aguna amen, ah, nix. Look at you and say, neighbor, how long have you been saved? Ask your neighbor, let's see. How many years? Or how many years? 50. Too much. It says too many. Some of us, instead of growing in the Lord and getting closer and closer. We are growing further and further from God. Further and further, not closer and closer. Further and further. In the end, you are the one that opposes anything that is godly. Because you are used to certain things. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let our love for God never run cold. Let it never run what? Ever run cold. To respond in love pleases God. Not under obligation. In love. You know, sometimes, honestly, when you want to give God something and you feel you're pushed, rather do not do it. Until your heart releases you. Look at your neighbor, until your heart releases you. Hallelujah. Until what? Until your heart, leave it. Until your heart says, it's okay. I remember, honestly, let me tell you this story. I remember helping somebody. And I remember promising somebody to help this person. And then afterward, I just felt so much condemnation that I did not ask God about this person enough. But you see, what then forced me was that to still do it, because I believe that a promise is a promise. Are you here? My word is my promise. I said I was going to do it, and I had already told this person. But afterward, I felt so much condemnation. Restlessness. And I said, but I've given my word. And I went to God and I said, Father, I'm giving this person this, and I don't expect anything from this because I know I was not supposed to do it. My lesson was that I should not have committed myself before I consulted God. Otherwise, I'm going to become a liar, and I'll make God a liar if I don't do it. And I said, Lord, I know this one, I'm just doing it, but I was not supposed to do it. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Amen? So I knew, I'm not even expecting anything from that, because I already said, God, I know my heart is not allowing me. I'm doing it because my word committed me to it. So I have to do it. Otherwise, this person will say, this pastor is not faithful. I'm destroying the witness. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Amen. Do you love Jesus Christ? So, all that you have around your life, you look around, you see your children, you see your house, you see your business, you see your... What do you see? Ask your neighbor, what do you see when you look around your life? You know, one thing that some of us need to do is to thank God for our lives, honestly. Honestly. We have looked at negative things too much and too long in our lives, and we just don't see the good things. It's not a mistake that you are in that place. God knows what He's doing. Allow Him. Trust Him. And see what He will pull through for you. Just for a change, just appreciate. Jalo, you complain about your children, you complain about your husband, your wife, your wife. Just come to God and say, I want to thank you for the vineyard that you have given. There are some things in the vineyard I'm not happy about, but I just want to thank you because you trusted me with this. No one else could have been trusted with this. You trusted me. And you expect that from this place, a fruit will come, and I will bring it to you, Lord. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Instead of you complaining as if God made you a mistake to have placed you in the place where you are, you complain nonstop, day and night. When are you going to work on the vine? When are you going to get some fruit going? No, believe that even this one, I can still give God something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, when God speaks to you, it's going to come out of this place. When God says, I want you to do 1, 2, 3, don't say, how is it going to happen? No, you look around, you will see it. It will happen. Amen. Look at it and say, neighbor, I see your vineyard producing something. Servants are coming to collect. Don't give excuses. God trusted you with this. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people's vineyards are not as good looking as other people's vineyard. But I have seen great testimonies coming out of places that you did not expect anything could come out of them. And you are in that place to trust God and turn it around and bring the best out of it. Hallelujah. You know, God wants to show His mercy and His grace and His glory through your life where you are. It will take you responding in obedience and in faith for Him to be able to take you where you are to the next level. He does not want you to enter there, but you have to partner with Him to get to the next place. You got to be willing. You got to have faith. You got to have faith in God. Amen. That even out of this, it shall happen. When God speaks, says, yes, Lord. Say, neighbor, you must say, yes, Lord. It will happen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us give God the fruit that He's expecting when He visits us. Not the things that will be dishonoring God. Not activities and behavior that are going to dishonor God. Complaints. Worries. I cannot. It's impossible. Look what you have given me, Lord. You know, some of us, how can anything happen in this place? That's like what you are saying. Look at my life. Look at my life. Can anything come out of this place? Why would God come to you for something if there was something possible? There was nothing possible. Your life is just awaiting you to take a step of faith and say, Lord, I'll honor you with what you're asking me to do. That is at least my act of worship. I'll bring you a fruit. Out of this place, it will come. This is your life. You are the one hearing me today out of your family. That's not you. Maybe God wants to use you to turn things around. But He wants you to listen. He wants you to respond in faith and do what He wants you to do. And see God do a miracle turnaround for your family. They've all gone, you know, in their own ways, but you are here. Maybe you are the one. But God wants to partner with you. Give him his fruit, and he will give you your blessing. He will be able to multiply whatever he's asking. You see, that is the thing with God. When he asks you something, he wants to multiply it. That is the point. He does not need anything from us. He doesn't need it. When we respond in faith, he has already received what he's expecting from us. All he can do is to bless it. And when he blesses it, it multiplies. When God asks you to do something, it's an opportunity for blessing. Don't deny it. It is an opportunity. Your vineyard is God's doing. The best can come out of it. The best that can shock everyone. Only if you will come forth and say, Lord, I've heard you. This is what I'm going to do in obedience. Hallelujah. And let's not replace obedience with anything else that will look like sacrifice. But let us obey God and not replace it with anything else. Amen. Do it. Look at your neighbor. Say, do it. Don't waste time. Do it today. The servants are here. They are here to collect it. Tell the other neighbor, say, the servants are here to collect it. Don't postpone. Amen. Always, when God is expecting this fruit, it will look like you are giving too much. It will look heavy. It will look like I cannot afford it. Do it. Amen. And see your life change. Hallelujah. As I conclude, I just want to say this to you, that when we truly love God, we will seek to please him. Did you hear that? If we truly love God, we'll do the things that please him. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What is God saying to you? And this is not only about you not living a sinful life. A sinful life is not the only disobedience we are talking about. It's disobeying instructions. It's disobeying God speaking to you about anything in life. There are some people who are not living in sin, but they are still disobedient. So it's not only about sin. Sin is one of them. As I said, we must get to a point where we are no longer talking about sin anymore. Sin is grade one of what we should be talking about. Grade one is sin. If you're still struggling there, you're grade one. Amen? So when you talk about not obeying God, it's not even about the issues of sin. Is the issues of not having faith in the things that God says you must do. And that indeed they will happen. Through me, I will do it because I trust him. I heard him and I will do it. That may be all that you have been waiting for. You have been saying, I love God. Everybody has been saying, I love God. Everybody. If I ask you, say, do you love God? Oh, I love God. How do you know? I always pray, I always attend church, I always do that. Okay, well and good. But there are other things that will show me that you actually don't love God. That may just be a sacrifice rather than obedience from the heart. So a list of the things we are doing outwardly may not necessarily be a sign that we love God. But there are things that God will speak to you. And he wants you to obey. And you are the only one who knows about it. But you don't. It may just have been a missed opportunity for you, your family, your business. Better than anybody laying hands on you. Just taking a step of faith and saying, Lord, I'm going to do it. And just do it. And see things turn around. He's coming to his vineyard. He's coming to your life. He's expecting a fruit, not stories, not excuses, not disobedience. He's expecting you to respond and say, Lord, I've been waiting for you. This is what I want to give to you. For all that you have given to me, this is what I want to do for you. This is what I want to do for you. Whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's things, whether it doesn't matter what it is. But God, the God that I know, is going to speak to you. In fact, he has been speaking to you, and you have been postponing. Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's telling the truth. You have been postponing. If that widow who was just waiting to make the last meal and die still found something in it to honor, between that woman and death was just one meal. One meal. So that we can eat and die. One meal. Say one meal. How many meals do you have when between you and whatever? Still many. What does it mean? Partner with God. He knows what he's doing. Respond in faith. Don't question too many things. If it is God, do it. Do it. Look at your neighbor. Do it. That will be a sign of obedience, a sign that you love God indeed and in truth. Not lip service. No, you love God. We respond from the heart, even if it's most inconvenient. I told you, wake up 12 o'clock, and you're going to do it. And my wife is not threatening me. It's not intimidating me. Something is driving me that is bigger than me. Are you hearing me? So when God sees us do that, he knows these ones love me. Look at the sacrifices in terms of responding to what I am telling them. They do it even when it is inconvenient for them because they love me. They do it because they love him. So the one you love is the one you seek to please. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just go on and on about things that are not right in our lives. We go on and on, on and on, on and on. And we don't stop to take a proper stock of what we have. And I want us to do that today. Can you stand on our feet right now? I want you to think about your life. Just for a moment, forget what is not going right. Some of us, we are irritated by anything and everything because we are so negative. So negative. I want you to take stock of your life. I mean, all of us. People are stressed out here. People are stressed. Even when the kids say, Mama, what do you want? Oh, yes. People are stressed. The levels of stress are amazing. And you know why? It's because our focus is wrong. We're always looking at the glass that is half empty all the time. What we don't have, what we can't do, what we lack, what somebody didn't do for you, and all that. Our focus is terribly wrong. People not appreciating, people not caring, people not, that's wrong, that's wrong. It's like walking in the vineyard, all that preoccupies you is that the two grapes that are rotten, only two grapes are rotten. You are busy with these two grapes. And then there's a fly there also is an issue. There are issues everywhere. Are you here? There's so much going on in the world today. So much going on in the world. Not just here. Everywhere. And people are struggling to remove their eyes from what is negative. Almost impossible. Almost impossible. Unemployment. Sicknesses. Economies that are going down. There's just so much going on. And if as the church we are not going to call your attention to something else, we are not doing our job as a church. Because this world say, look at me, look at me, look what I can do to you, look at what I can do to you, you know. But in God's vineyard, it can't be that all is negative. It cannot be. Men of God, you don't know, I don't even have a place to stay, you don't know. You know what I know? Is that you are alive and you made it to this place. That I know. Men of God, you don't know how these people hate me. You know where I'm staying? Everybody hates me. Everybody hates me. Everybody. Everybody hates me. No one loves me. No one cares. Negative, negative, negative. And it's not a lie. These things are happening. I'm victimized at work. I'm all there. These things are happening. They are happening. People are getting promoted. I'm not. These things are happening. I've been applying for a job. These things are happening. But what I can tell you, that your vineyard is not all bad. Oh, you're not hearing me. I'm saying your vineyard is not all bad. God prepared it for you and placed you there. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. This is a divine design. You're not a mistake. Men of God, you're talking nicely. You don't know. You're just talking nicely. You don't know. You don't know. Let me borrow you my life for one day. Let me see if you'll survive, men of God. Of course, I won't survive. It's not my life. It's your life. If God wanted me there, he would have put me there. So he didn't. Because he saw that I won't survive. But you have everything it takes to survive in that place. You. And you. You have everything it takes. You. I'm talking to you. It's not my life. It's your life. And you're going to survive in the name of Jesus Christ. You won't only survive, you'll be victorious. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. He knows that you can turn around this vineyard. He knows that you can take this vineyard from year to year. That's why he says, look after it. Look after it. Look after it. Something can come out of it. Something is going to come. You know, there's something that used to happen in my life for many, many years. And every time I will feel this thing that, you might as well just confess. Because I don't confess negatively. I don't speak negative. Because I realize that doesn't help anything. To say this thing is not going to work. So how is it going to help you to say this thing is not going to work? That's negative confession, isn't it? I don't. So for years, I would battle that and I'll get to a point where I say, let me just say it, because I mean, this thing has been like this forever. I'm not going to change it. And I'll stay saying no. I know that my confession will not be in vain. Amen. And one day I'll see it, what I'm confessing. I'll see it. What am I saying to you today as we close? I want you to spend a moment, just a moment, and appreciate what is good around your life. Even if it's one thing. And begin to give God the glory for that one thing right now. If out of your 100 members of your family, there is only one person that you are grateful for, begin to thank God for that person. Certainly there is something. There's something around your life. There is something. You know, some of you, for years, you have been dealing with one thing for years that doesn't seem to happen. No. Today, you just look back and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. For this, I just want to thank you. For this child, for this position, for this opportunity, for my health. Something is right in this vineyard. Something is right. What is that right thing now? Just take it right now and take it to God in praise and worship. Just bless God for it. Just bless it. There are people who are getting tired and exhausted because of things that don't change. Today, I just want to appreciate that vineyard where you are. And say, God, as the first step towards my obedience, I just want to thank you for this vineyard. Are you ready? Are you ready to bless God for your vineyard? Right there where you are, that where God placed you, and is coming right there. He's expecting a fruit from you. Begin to worship God. I want you to think. You know, don't just go and just make noise and as is tradition. No. I want you to take your time. Take your time to look into your life and say honestly, Papa, ao mo ke a lemoga. Ke a leboga e le ka nnete. I want you to do that.
James bowed, giving praise to him and him alone. There's no one like the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain and seated on the throne. There's no
instead of thanking God, they have been blaming God for their situations. They've been blaming God that their lives are like that. And I'm hearing that we need to pray a prayer of repentance. Maybe in your house you lost a breadwinner, a mother, a father, a brother, whatever, or losing a job, or losing that, or and then you begin to blame God. God can never make a mistake. And whatever he allows, he knows that you can handle it. I want us to pray a prayer of repentance for us who have questioned God about certain things in our lives and say, where were you when these things happened? Where were you? If you loved me, you would not have allowed this to happen. Some of us need to repent right now and ask God to forgive us for blaming God. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for even thinking that you are responsible. I know you are God over all things, You can see all things. Why some things are permissible I do not know, but you cannot be wrong. You're always right. And I know that you're always with me. You're always with me. Lord Jesus, my life, with all that I've seen, with all that I've experienced, with all that surrounds me, I can say, you are still a loving God. You are still a faithful God. Even now, even today, you are still a faithful God. I may not understand everything, but I know you are faithful. I know you are faithful, my God. Forgive me for even thinking that you didn't love me, that you didn't care. The enemy crooked me to think that way. You are not. You are a loving Father. Say, Lord, when I look around in my life, I can see there are good things. From today, my focus will be on these things. And I will respond in faith. What you ask me to do, I will do, knowing that this vineyard has everything it takes. No matter how it looks in my eyes, it is harvest time. It will produce. I want you to begin to declare over your vineyard and say, it is harvest time. Say, it is harvest time. I cannot hear. Say, it is harvest time. Say, it is harvest time. Even if it doesn't look ready, even if it doesn't look like anything will be harvested, when God says it is harvest time, it will come out of this place in the name of Jesus. I want you to declare that when God says it is harvest time, it is harvest time. I cannot hear you. Say, when God says it is harvest time, it does not matter how it looks. Say, when God says it is harvest, it's harvest. Say, something is going to come out of this place, and I'm going to give something to the Lord. I cannot yet say, something is going to come out of this place. Didn't I hear God says it's harvest time? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This vineyard. Say, this vineyard. Say, this vineyard. Say, this vineyard. Around my life, I hear God says, from His word, it's harvest time. I'm gonna find something to give to the Lord, and I will still remain with something. How many of you believe the word of God? How many of you believe the word of God? I want you to speak with faith. Speak to this vineyard and say, it is time. Say, it is time. I cannot hear you. Say, it is time. Speak to the vineyard. Say, it is time. This vineyard is everything around your life, by the way. Speak to it. Say, it is time. Say, it is time to bring forth what is in you. Oh, yes. Say, you are my vineyard. From today, I bless God. No more complaints. about my vineyard. The way it is still my vineyard. Hallelujah. Say the way it is still my vineyard. And something will come out of it. Listen to what the word of God says. He says, I did everything. I prepared. I did everything. In other words, the potential is there. You are not hearing what I'm telling you. The potential is there. Oh, yes. For something to come out of this, and it is going to come out. I say something is going to come out of that place. From today, you're going to look at your life with a different eye. Different pair of spectacles. New spectacles. Hallelujah. Do I have a witness in the house? Do I have a witness in the house? Do I have a witness in the house? From today, you're going to walk proudly around your vineyard and say, Lord, I thank you for my vineyard. I thank you, Lord. I bless you for everything in this vineyard. And the enemy will whisper and say, what about this? You'll say, even this one will produce in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. When he says, what about this one? You say, which one? You say, which one? Say this one. Say, even this one. God says he prepared it to be the best it can. And he says it is harvest. Let it produce in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Say, this is my vineyard. And I'm proud of it. I'm proud of it. From today, I'll not be saying, I come from such and such a family, such and such a what, where we don't have what, where things are going south, north, wherever. No, today you will say, this is my vineyard and I'm proud of it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I'm proud of my vineyard. Proud of it. So the Lord says it is harvest time. Because when he says it's harvest time, he means that he wants to bless you. He wants to increase, to multiply. To multiply. Hallelujah. Say, my vineyard, my vineyard. You are going to give me something that I can present to the servants of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I speak one more time to our vineyard. Say, my vineyard, my vineyard. I believe you have all that it takes to produce what God is expecting. And you are going to do it. By fire, by force, you are going to do it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The life that God wants me to live, it will come out of this vineyard. Regardless of how it looks, it's going to come out of it. It's going to come out of it. It's going to come out of it. Listen. This is what I'm hearing. Listen to this. Some of you, you had already lowered your standards because of circumstances. I'm hearing, don't have to do that. This vineyard will still produce that. This vineyard will produce it. Almighty prepared it for you. And he gave you a vision. He gave you a dream. But the vineyard, you looked at it and say, oh no, how's it going to happen? Let me just settle. No. I say no. I say no. I say no. It will still happen just as you were promised. Just as you dreamt, just as you saw it in a vision, it will happen. 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 This vineyard is good enough. It's good enough. Every support you need is coming out of this place. Hallelujah. Oh, out of this vineyard, great things are going to come. I say, out of this vineyard, great things are coming. Great things are coming. Great things are coming. Great things are coming. No more marana mara this, mara that, mara what. Never. No more. No more. No more. No more. When you leave this place, you close your room and say, my vineyard, you heard the word of the Lord. It's time to respond. Am I talking to somebody here? Am I talking to somebody here? Hallelujah. If you really believe that this is the word of God, things will begin to respond. I say things will begin to respond. My God, when he comes, he expects a fruit. He will not find me complaining. He will not find me in this pity party. No, I won't. Say I won't. He will find me worshiping, jumping, and glorifying his name and waiting for him to give him his fruit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I love this vineyard with everything that is in it. The good and the bad. I just love it. They all work together for good, just as they are. Hallelujah. 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 Say, Lord, thank you for reminding me. I've been going on and on about what is right, what is not right. I got distracted, but I thank you for reminding me that this one, this very one, it can produce something. When you look this way, you wouldn't see anything. You look to the left, to the right, forward, back. You don't see nothing. But you are leaving this place and say, it doesn't matter what I'm seeing. If this is the Lord speaking, something is coming out. Something is coming out of this place. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty 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 name of Jesus. Begin to thank God for your vineyard. Begin to lift up your voice and just thank God for your vineyard. Just thank God for your vineyard. Thank God for your vineyard. Thank God for your vineyard. Just thank him. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Bless him, bless him, bless him, bless him. Bless him, bless him, bless him. Bless him. Oh. Oh yes, bless him, bless him, bless him. That you need to do as part of taking care of the vineyard is to prophesy over it. Speak things that you want to see. That's how you take care of it. Anything that doesn't look like it has got life in it, you speak life. That's how you take care of the garden. That's how you take care of the vineyard. Speaking. That's how you water it. That's how you prune. That's how you do speaking. speaking what you want to see, speaking the word of God, speaking the word of God all the time. Not pressures, not stress, not speaking. That's how you take care of it. Don't kill it with negative words. Don't kill things with negative words. Speak life all the time. Speak the word into this vineyard. Before you know it, it is done. Hallelujah. I'm sending you back into your vineyard, transformed and changed by His word, taking control, taking charge of your life and all that is around it, refusing to bow, refusing to give in, glorifying God for everything bad and good that is in it, because He knows how to work things together for your good. He knows how to use everything in there, in that vineyard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are truly blessed. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me just pray for everyone at home in the name of Jesus Christ. The power of God is upon you. It's in your houses right now, setting you free, setting everybody free in that place from every demonic oppression, sicknesses, scattering darkness in your houses in the name of Jesus Christ. The power of God is entering your house because you have connected with this grace right now. Be free in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Worshipers, please come.
Thank you for listening, family. There is a way for both international listeners and South Africans to give. For international listeners, please use our PayPal Me link, which you can find in our podcast description. For South Africans, please see our banking details in the description as well. Shalom.